our praise song, Step by Step. Our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. Acts chapter 2, 41 and 42. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers.
Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You.
Father, we do thank You this morning that You are leading us step by step. Lord, we offer ourselves now to You that we will be obedient to Your Word, led by Your Spirit, and go forth and carry the good news. Lord, may all that's spoken this day be Yours. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to share with you kind of the second part in message I started last week. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Talked about how the believers, the early church that was established, was blown away by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's rushing mighty wind and its tongues of fire. It changed those people that were present in Jerusalem at its falling, and it changed the fledgling church and gave it its actual birth, and it's been changing the world for 2,000 years. This power brought to mind to the followers of Jesus, it brought to their minds the words that He had shared with them over His ministry, and it brought to mind the power with which He had spoken, and it left them with those same qualities. It brought understanding to what Jesus had been teaching those 3 years that they had just somehow never seemed to really grasp. But when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, I'm sure that they were almost like, wow, how did I not see that? It was an eye-opening, life-changing experience. These things that happened, this power brought into existence the church. The church that we now carry on in the line and in the tradition that Jesus established. These things that came about on that day of Pentecost blew away the first century world, changed it forever. It's the same thing that the Holy Spirit does in the world today when that Spirit is employed by the believers, by you and I. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that blows away the chaff of the world, the chaff of our lives, and leaves the fruit. Now, you know what chaff is? It's the residue from when wheat or corn or some kind of grain is thrashed. It's the husk, it's the stalk, and all that. I was looking at something this week on TV, the Discovery Channel or History Channel or something. And they were doing a special. They were showing this thing about this group of families out through the Midwest that do nothing but harvest crops for farmers out through the Midwest. They start up north early on in the harvest season and work their way south. They do nothing but go and harvest. They don't plant, they don't till, none of those things. They just come in with their combines and their trucks and all of those things and harvest. And he was talking about the combines, these huge, massive John Deere combines that they harvest. They can harvest up to a couple hundred acres of wheat or corn in a single day. And they were showing then, they went to showing the construction of this huge combine that can do this. And at the center, and what they call the heart of this machine, was the thrashing device. It was a huge tube with a auger type screw in it with massive amounts of air that blows through it to remove the chaff, the husk, the no good stuff, and to leave the grain. The heart of that machine, they said, they start with that piece and then build the combine, the rest of it, around that thrashing device, as it was called. The Holy Spirit is the heart of the church. It's the thrashing device. It's what weeds out all that's useless and no good in our lives. And we need to allow it. We need to build around it. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to be the heart of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Last week I talked about doctrine. I talked about how we need good doctrine and sound teaching in the church. And now I want to say this morning, I don't want to throw doctrine out the window this morning, but doctrine is a good thing. Correct, authentic doctrine is essential in the church, but doctrine, folks, is without any value whatsoever unless it is applied, unless doctrine is practiced and lived. It's the same kind of thing as if you were on a ship out in the middle of the ocean and suddenly that ship started sinking. If you had life rafts for everyone on board, and that life raft, and you could understand that what that life raft was, you knew that it would float. You understood the physics behind it of how something does float in the water, that it has to displace more water than weight is in it or something like that. I'm not completely on that in the physics part there. But if you could understand and explain all that, yet you failed to get in that life raft as the ship was sinking, that knowledge, that understanding is worth what to you? Nothing. You're going to go down with the ship and you're going to die. It has to be practiced. Doctrine is no good unless it's practiced. It's a wonderful thing. It's an essential thing to be absolutely and totally sound and grounded in doctrine. It's good to know, and I review last week's doctrinal things, it's good to know that there is one God and believe that with all your heart. It's good to know and believe that Jesus was born, that He lived, died, and was raised again. It's a good thing to believe that Jesus is exactly who He said He was, that He was, that He is the Son of God. And it's absolutely wonderful, and I pat you all on the back if you know and believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Yet if these beliefs, if all you can say is, yeah, preacher, preach on, I believe that. If all you can say is, I believe that, but you don't live your life as if you believe it, and as a believer, then you are just like the person on the sinking ship who understands that the life raft can save their lives, believes that it will float, but fails to get in it. It's a wonderful thing to have sound doctrine, but you have to put your faith and your trust and live your life upon it then. In the 42nd verse of chapter 2 in Acts, it identifies three practices along with doctrine that blew away the world at the birth of the church. Well, the first one one I want to talk to you about this morning, and next week I'm going to talk about the second two. I want to talk to you this morning about fellowship. At the arrival of the Holy Spirit, over 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Each day thereafter, the Scriptures tell us, if you read on down past verse 42, if you read on past, you see that every day new people were being added to the church. Why? How was this possible? And can that same kind of thing, does that same kind of thing happen today? Well, the answer is yes, it can happen. It can happen today. The Holy Spirit today, folks, I believe, is just as powerful, just as magnificent, just as mind-blowing and as transforming as it was 2,000 years ago. How and why about this, the how and why has to do with the way we respond to the Holy Spirit's call and presence in our lives. The first practice of the new church, the first practice of the newborn church was to be in fellowship. Now we can all say, I like that idea. I can be in fellowship. Boy, we can have covered dish lunches every Sunday, and we can all sit down and we can eat and we can have a good time, and then we can run on home and catch the end of the race and go do this and go do that, whatever we want to. But let me say, folks, let me go ahead and clarify. Fellowship is a little more than just sitting down at a covered dish meal or at a meal that we here is most always fixed by the kitchen crew. Fellowship is more than just sitting down at the table with one another. That's part of it. That's a good part of fellowship, but it's much more than that. The word fellowship that you see in this verse in the Bible comes from a Greek word. It's koinonia. Koinonia is a Greek word that means much more than just simply sitting down together, sitting beside each other in church, than riding together to work and carpooling. It means much more than speaking to one another in the grocery store when you bump into each other. It means much more. It's much richer than that. The Greek word koinonia has the meaning, and it refers to the kind of fellowship that is talked, the kind of fellowship which means participation in anything and sharing in common. Participate, a fellowship with or participating in anything and sharing in common. With or participating in anything and sharing in common. Fellowship is not just eating together. Fellowship is sharing in joy. When you have good things happen in life, at birthdays, in weddings, at graduations, at baptisms, at all of these good things in life, we share those things with one another. We rejoice with one another. We share in the joy of other believers. If something good happens to Joan, it's good for me. It should be, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in fellowship. And whatever makes Joan happy should bring me happiness as well. It's joy, sharing in one another's joy. It's also sharing in one another's pain. When death comes into our midst, when someone dies, Melanie's cousin died, and brings sadness and it brings grieving to that family. I grieve too. I don't even know her cousin. I don't know who he is. I don't know. I don't guess any of the family. But I grieve for her and her family because I've lost loved ones too. And I understand that grief. And it hurts me because somebody else is going through something that I know is not a pleasant thing, that is a hurting thing. We share in the pain that we experience. When someone experiences sickness, and listen to our prayer requests. Think back to our prayer requests this morning. How many people are affected by cancer? How many people are sick that we know of right here? We could probably put hundreds on a list if we all told the people that are on our heart and mind every day We share in those pains with one another. We walk in each other's shoes in the sicknesses that people deal with. When someone goes through a divorce, can we empathize with that? Can we share in the emotional distress and the agony that goes on with all the things there? And it probably truly is impossible to totally understand what that person may be going through unless you've been through it yourself. But you can share in their pain and you can love them. That's fellowship when you get into them, get with them when they're hurting, when their people are down and when they are depressed. Experience and go where they are. We also fellowship in our worship and in our praise. If we can't lift up the Lord here in this church together, if we can't praise God sitting here or standing and singing, if we can't feel comfortable coming to the altar and kneeling down and praying, then we have no fellowship. We have no fellowship unless we can join together and feel comfortable in praising God and worshiping Him. We fellowship when we reach out to those around us who are less fortunate than us. We fellowship in our abundance. We fellowship when we go to the homeless and we feed them a meal. We fellowship with one another when we lift up a brother or sister who is going through a financial situation and we help them out. We fellowship, we are truly fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters when we see to the needs of the widows and the orphans. That was one of the disciples or one of the jobs that was given to the deacons, the first deacons that were ordained in the Bible. That they were to see that the distribution of those things needed for the widows and the orphans. That's fellowship, folks. It's not just sitting at the table and playing a hand of cards and eating a piece of watermelon. It's being with those people in need, those who are less fortunate. Fellowship is also sharing our gifts. We fellowship with one another, each other, when we share our gifts. When Vance teaches Sunday school or Sandy teaches the kids and Molly teaches them and Daniel, when all of our Sunday school teachers are teaching, that's fellowship. We're sharing in our gifts. When Jamie plays the organ, when he plays the piano, that's fellowship. He's sharing gifts. You have gifts. And if you're hoarding them, if you're holding on to them, if you're not letting them out from under that basket, you're refusing the fellowship of the believers. We fellowship also with our lives. No day better could we talk about that than on a Memorial Day weekend. When we celebrate, when we don't celebrate, but when we remember and honor those who have given their lives, selflessly gave their lives. I just have a hard time sometimes even thinking about that. And understanding, I've watched, there have been some movies on over the weekend, the Memorial Weekend, Turner Classic Movie shows, some of the old war movies and all. And I see some of those and I remember how that makes me feel to see it just portrayed in a very Hollywood way even, these people who willingly gave of their lives. And some of you men right in here, I know have been on that, in that place and have faced that very thing. And I thank you for that. And my hat is off to you and I honor you with what you have done. It's unbelievable that people would do that. It's unimaginable. Jesus said in John 15:13 that no greater love has anyone than he would lay down his life for another. We fellowship with our lives. When we lay down our life for each other, is there any parent in here that wouldn't, in a heartbeat, give up your life, step in front of the bus to save your child or anything like that? I don't think so. There's no greater love. The fellowship The one of the greatest ways we fellowship was with the giving of our lives, and not just our physical life, but the things that we do in our life, the things that we place importance upon, the time that we give. We fellowship not simply by sitting down with a meal, but we fellowship through the joy, the pain, worship, and praise. We fellowship through reaching out in our abundance to those in need. And we fellowship and experience fellowship through the giving of our own lives. Folks, do we here at Francis Asbury, do we in this church right here want to truly do what it takes to be a New Testament church? To be the church that was blown away by the power of the Holy Spirit? If you do, then we need to practice koinonia. We need to practice fellowship. The fellowship that requires all that we are, all that we could ever be, given to the Lord Jesus Christ for one another and for reaching those in need. This morning, as we celebrate and honor those who served and gave all for us so that we might be free, I invite you and I challenge you to be in complete fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit, that you might be blown away and transform the world. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this Holy Spirit that comes, teaches, and transforms. Lord, as we honor those who have given all, we thank you for giving all for us. Lord, may we be in fellowship with one another and fellowship with you and share your word and your love with all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.